And I want to ask you to open your heart with me to prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord. Let's do that right now. Father, we just submit our hearts to you. Lord, we open our heart to receive your word. And Father, we pray that you'd speak into our lives. I ask you, Father, that you help me by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would lead me, guide me, and use me this morning, Lord, to speak words that are spirit and life, Lord, that true change would come in our lives and that you be glorified in it all. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. We've been talking about praying effectively, and most of these messages really have been pretty basic. We talked about how that you have to ask, and we pray to the Father and in Jesus' name. And we pray according to the will of God. I tell you, these are really simple truths, but somehow we many times can kind of miss the mark in those areas if we're not aware, if we're not really praying the way the Scripture says to. But even though those things are simple, sometimes having and getting answers to our prayers seems to be a little bit more complicated. I mean, prayer is simple in a way, but many times we don't understand why we don't get answers as quickly as we would like, or sometimes it seems like the answers never come. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name according to the will of God, and yet we don't really see the answers that we had hoped for. And I wish I could tell you that I have all of this figured out, but I don't. I humbly tell you that I'm learning and I'm growing, and I hope that you are too. And I believe that the word of the Lord this morning will help us to go a little deeper. And when I say that, I mean that it's going to challenge you. I mean that it's going to, you know, take us beyond maybe just milk and baby Christianity and challenge us to go a little deeper this morning. So, but I believe in the process, listen, that maybe we will uncover some of the reasons why we've had those delays and unanswered prayers and maybe how we can have more breakthroughs and more victories. What if there was a way for you to finally get the breakthrough that you've been desiring from the Lord? We're going to start off with Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to work our way through this passage beginning with verse 14. Matthew 17, beginning from verse 14. It says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.'" Now, the first thing I think that we need to see here is that this father didn't give up. He took his son to the disciples and they couldn't help him, and so he didn't just go home. But he persists, and he brings him to Jesus. And I want to say to you first that if you're needing a breakthrough, if you're looking for an answer, you're needing God's help, don't give up. Persist. Jesus had already given power and authority to his disciples. He told them to go and to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to preach the good news, and they did that very thing. In fact, they rejoiced that the demons were subject to them. They had had great success preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out devils. But now they came to a situation that was simply too much for them. They were not prepared for this. They weren't ready for this. Here is this young man who's being tormented by a demon, and it's just too much for the disciples. Jesus had given them power over all the power of the enemy. But there was still too much unbelief of the world in them. You know, we've all been in those situations where we have done everything we know to do, tried everything we know to try, and whether it is a need in our life or maybe in the life of somebody else, it was too much for us. It exhausted our spiritual resources, and yet the need remains. Sometimes a sickness remains. Sometimes there's an addiction that's still not broken. There's some kind of a great unmet need still waiting on that answer to our prayers. It's really important that we take note of the first thing that Jesus says here. I think sometimes we just kind of skim over a passage and we really miss some important principles. And I know that one time you may read a passage and the Holy Spirit brings one thing to light, and the next time you read that same passage and the Holy Spirit brings your focus to something else. But I think it's really important this morning that we see the first thing that Jesus says. He says, "O faithless and perverse generation." The disciples couldn't cure him. What are the first words that Jesus says? "Faithless and perverse generation." Here's a big part of the issue. He lived in a time when there was a faithless and perverse generation. I can assure you that we also live in a faithless and perverse generation. We need to see, we need to understand how strong the unbelief in our world is. It is epidemic. And not only in the world, but even in much of the body of Christ, unbelief is epidemic. Where most people who are saved and born again, and thank God they have faith for salvation, but most people who are born again don't have faith for anything else. And when it comes to a real battle, the faith is just not there. Jesus said it's faithless and perverse generation. And by the way, I would just submit to you that what Jesus' standard of perverse and what would be considered to be perverse today are two totally different things. He's not just talking about the most horrible things that you can think of, but he's talking about being ungodly. He's talking about unholy. He's talking about that which is of this world and not of the things of God. Twisted, misguided, faithless, and perverse generation. We need to understand what was at work here. Why couldn't the disciples cast him out? And Jesus' first thing he says is, "A wicked and faithless generation." Faithless, perverse generation. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" There's a little frustration there with Jesus. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" And he says, "Bring him to me." Verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" It's not hard for Jesus. No, he was prepared for this. He's ready for this encounter, and man, did the situation turn around fast when Jesus shows up. But it leaves the disciples wondering and asking, why couldn't we cast it out? I mean, they had done it before many times. Why couldn't we cast it out? And some of us who have had some spiritual victories, we come to a battle that we just can't seem to get victory. And we ask the same question, what's going on here? Why? And I believe that Jesus makes it very plain and clear what the key is, what the answer is. In fact, he says, when they say, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" Jesus says to them, "Because of your unbelief." And there it is, church. Here's the reason they couldn't cast it out: because of their unbelief. I'm going to say, but I'm believing, Lord. If you read this same story in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 9, you'll see that when the man first comes to Jesus, he says, "Help us if you can." And Jesus says to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And the man says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." I mean, this man is honestly doing his best. He's trying to believe. Anybody been there? Now listen, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And when I talk about you're doing your best to believe, you're trying to believe. And he says, "Help my unbelief." Now the encouraging thing here is that Jesus did help his unbelief, by the way. But I want you to know something this morning, that this was a real issue. That unbelief was the reason that this young man was not set free, that he was not healed. Jesus says it very plain, and don't lose sight of that, because the rest of what we're going to read here needs to be understood in the light of what Jesus says. He's talking about an unbelieving and perverse generation, and then he says, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it would move, and nothing would be impossible for you. That's the power that is available with faith. If you had faith as a mustard seed. He's talking about why they couldn't cast this demon out, because of unbelief. And then he says, because if you had this mustard seed faith, you could speak to this mountain and it would obey you. Nothing would be impossible to you. Verse 21, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. This is not a different answer. This is not a contradiction. He didn't change his mind about what the key was. No, the answer is we have to believe. The reason that it wasn't done, that the answer didn't come, is because of unbelief, he says. But prayer and fasting takes our faith to a new level. Jesus was prepared for this event. He had prayed and fasted. He was ready for this. The disciples were not ready for this. What does an unbelieving and perverse generation need? Prayer and fasting. Oh, y'all are getting excited, aren't you? I mean, preacher's going to talk about fasting. Somebody lock the back doors. Listen, this is what an unbelieving and perverse generation needs. Yeah, that is a double-edged sword being used against the church. Unbelieving and perverse generation. But here's a double-edged sword that overcomes it: prayer and fasting. You see, unbelieving and perverse. But when we pray, I'm talking about real prayer. I'm not talking about the phony religious, you know, going through the motion thing. I'm talking about when you're really praying and seeking God. You're drawing near to Him. You're getting closer to Him. You're communing with Him. You're getting to know Him more intimately. And I'm telling you that when you do that, unbelief leaves. Faith begins to grow. Your trust in Him, your confidence in Him grows. And as you fast, the unholy things of this world, all of the influences and the things that come at you through the senses, I'm telling you, you begin to break that hold. You begin to quiet those voices of the world so that you can hear better. Praying and fasting is the answer for an unbelieving and perverse generation. That's what we need, church. Prayer draws us closer to Him. And fasting helps us break the hold of the things of the world and our old sinful nature. See, when we pray and fast, we depend more on God and less on ourselves. And the end result of that is that our faith goes to a new level. Listen, I want to say one more time, Jesus is not contradicting Himself here when He tells them it's because of their unbelief, and then He says, you got to pray and fast for this kind. There are some battles that require such faith that you're going to have to pray and fast to get there. Many times, our old carnal nature keeps us from spiritual things. Listen, prayer and fasting changes us. Yeah, it'll make you lose weight. That's not what I mean. It will change you. It will change you inside. It will cause you to tune in to the things of the Spirit. It'll cause you to have more faith. It'll disconnect you from some of the influence of the world and that hold of the world. It'll change you. Prayer and fasting is not a way to twist God's arm. It is not us trying to manipulate God. Well, if I pray and fast so many days, then God will have to do what I want. No, it changes you. Faith comes when you pray and fast. And oh, how we need in this generation, how the church needs to hear this, that part of our life in following Jesus is getting our body under subjection. If you're really going to be who God wants you to be and do all that God wants you to do, I'm telling you, you're going to have to get your body under subjection where your spirit rules in your life. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He realized that there was a danger that if he allowed his old body to rule and run his life, that even he could be disqualified, that he could lose what he had. And I'm telling you that we need to know it's important that we keep our bodies under subjection. Y'all are getting excited, right? Oh, I know this is tough. Let me tell you something. Even right now, that old flesh starts screaming, saying, I don't think I like this. I don't think I want to hear this sermon. Maybe there's a church down the road where it's more fun. Let me tell you what fun is. Breakthroughs. Miracles. Having faith to really believe God. Not being ruled by our flesh. No, we need to get our old body, our flesh, that old nature under subjection to the Spirit so the Spirit man rules in our life and we can really hear from God. So we pray and fast. We quiet our flesh, our body, and our carnal desires. Our spirit then leads and guides us fasting. Now, I just want to give you some real practical things this morning. Fasting is voluntarily withdrawing from food and or drink or other fleshly appetites for a specified period of time for a spiritual purpose. It can be a water-only fast. It can be liquids only. It can be a partial fast where you just fast certain foods. It can be for just one meal a day, or it can be for a full day or 3 days or a week, up to 40, whatever God would lead you and have you to do. But I'm just telling you that this is in the Bible over and over again, and it needs to be a part of our life. When we eliminate food from our diet and focus on prayer and the Word of God, I'm telling you, our spirit, our mind becomes uncluttered by the things of this world. We become more sensitive to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit. More focused on Him, more in tune with Him, more able to hear His voice and know where He's leading us and guiding us. not subject to all of the voices of this world. You know, this is a hard word because for most of us, our flesh has such a hold on us. And it's hard for us to even think about going on a fast and giving up a meal or giving up certain foods. Just talking about it makes your carnal nature irritated. We think of all the reasons why we shouldn't or couldn't go on a fast. And some real spiritual people, there's a little sarcasm there, by the way. Some real spiritual people are even trying to think of verses in the Bible as to why this is not for them. But I'm just telling you that it is all through the Scripture, and Jesus lived it, and Jesus talked about it. Now, I am going to tell you this, that if you go on a fast and you are addicted to caffeine, as I am, or maybe you're addicted to sugar, you might be in for a monster headache. And so wisdom might be that you kind of wean yourself off of some of those addictions. But let me just tell you this, that if you have an addiction to caffeine or sugar, doesn't that tell you something? That you need to break that hold? And I tell you that even if you enjoy, you know, a good cup of coffee like I do, that periodically you need to put those things under subjection that they don't rule over you. I mean, you get up in the morning, and if you don't have your caffeine by noon, you can't even function. That's not the way God wants you to live. But here's the bigger issue, is that we need to keep our body under subjection so that we're really open to the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do. We're tuned in with Him. Let me just give you an example. I don't get that coffee. My body starts saying, coffee, coffee, get coffee now. Okay, I'm going to get some coffee. I'm going to get some coffee. There is a still small voice that God speaks to us, but so often we don't even hear Him because we are so in tune to the voice of the flesh, that old nature. Prayer and fasting will change you. I don't know how we manage to avoid talking about this as much as we do in the body of Christ today when it's so much a part of the Scripture. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches about prayer and He says, when you pray. He doesn't say if you pray. He says, when you pray. Then He teaches about giving, and He says, when you give. He doesn't say, if you give. He says, when you give. He supposes that we are going to give. And then He says in verse 16, He says, moreover, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast, it's a given that you're going to fast. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So Jesus teaches us very plainly that we are never to take pride in our fasting or any other spiritual actions, and we're certainly not to do them for the approval of men, to try to look spiritual, to try to look good in the eyes of other people. But He does not say not to fast. In fact, He says that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. We're not talking about religious pride fasting. I'm not talking about trying to look good in front of other people. I'm talking about when you really fast and seek God in prayer, your Father will reward you. Now, reward is not like getting paid on payday. You know, I did this and I did that, and so now God owes me. It's not like that. No, when we pray and fast And our faith goes to another level. I'm telling you, there are going to be rewards that come our way. He will reward you openly. When God rewards you openly, it is something that other people see. You know, sometimes people are blessed and others don't know why. And sometimes they even get jealous and envious. You know, they get that older brother complex where they're, you know, why do they get this? Why do they get that? It's not fair, you know. You don't know what's been done in secret. But I want to tell you something this morning. The biggest battles, they are won in secret. See, when we see the manifestation, when we see the breakthrough, listen, the battle was already won in the prayer closet. He rewards openly. When there's little done in secret, then there's little reward in public. Fasting is all through the Bible. Moses fasted, David fasted, Joshua fasted, Esther fasted, Hannah fasted, Daniel fasted. When Jehoshaphat was king of Judah and they were surrounded by their enemies, he called for everyone to fast until God gave them instruction of what they were to do. Even sinful people fasted. When Jonah preached judgment in Nineveh, the people fasted and God relented. Peter fasted. Paul fasted. The early church leaders fasted. People say, oh, we want church like the early church. They fasted. And Jesus fasted. Do we? Many times we don't hear the answers we need because we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, because our flesh is running our life too much. Acts chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Here's one of those examples of the New Testament church, Acts 13, 1 through 3. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, you see, this was a part of their spiritual life. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, something happened. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. What an example and what a pattern is given to us for the church, for church leaders. How did this happen? They prayed and they fasted. They were ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit gave them instruction. It's quite different nowadays when most people, they just decide, well, I think I'm going to go do this. No, it was the Holy Spirit that ordained this and set it in motion. And when they got this word from the Lord, they got clear instruction from the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're needing clear instruction, pray and fast. Pray and fast. Tune into Him and tune out those other voices. When they got that instruction from the Lord, they didn't stop fasting and praying. In fact, verse 3 says, then having prayed and fasted, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. Too much of the church today is unbelieving and perverse. We got to fast and pray, and I believe we'll see more breakthroughs than ever before. It's critical we understand this. Fasting is not just depriving yourself. It is turning to God and seeking God. It is looking to Him and relying on Him. That we don't just deprive, we're not just going on a diet, but we're seeking God. We're praying. We're spending time in His Word. Remember, when Jesus fasted for 40 days and he was hungry, the enemy came to tempt him. And he tempted him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so I encourage you that when you fast, you don't just do without food, but you spend time in the presence of God, praying, reading his word. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, but our hearing is dulled by the flesh that screams at us. And so we learn to put that aside and focus on him as we pray and fast. Sometimes we pray and things don't happen right away. There is a delay. And again, I encourage you not to give up when you have a delay. There are needs sometimes that are great. There are great obstacles. There are mighty forces at work in the spiritual realm that we don't see with the natural eye. There are things that are spiritually discerned, and there are spiritual powers at work. So listen, when the disciples couldn't cast that demon out, Jesus said, this kind. See, you need to understand there's different levels of spiritual forces at work in this battle that we're in. And I want to remind you, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6, the church is never going to meet the needs of this world with the strength of man. We're never going to accomplish the purpose of God with the wisdom of man. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And what we need to realize is this battle has to be won in prayer. There's such a battle found in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, we're going to read 12 through 14. And in this story, Daniel has been praying and fasting for 21 days. He's praying and fasting for an answer from God. Now, I already told you, he prayed and fasted 21 days. I want you to think about that for a second. He didn't pray and then wait a day and say, well, that didn't work. I guess I'll watch TV. No, he prayed and fasted, and the next day he prayed and fasted, and he prayed and fasted, and he prayed and fasted. What's going on here? There is a spiritual battle that's taking place. When the answer finally comes, an angel appears to him, and in verse 12 he says to him, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Your words were heard. I want to tell some of you this morning, your words were heard. You think that nobody was listening. You think that your prayer didn't matter. Your words were heard. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. See, there is a great spiritual battle that is taking place all the time. And this battle that took place as Daniel was praying and fasting was so great that it took 21 days for his answer to come. And Michael had to come and help fight this battle. You need to understand what your part is when there's this battle in the heavenlies, that you pray and fast. In fact, Ephesians tells us we stand and we keep standing. And this is how we stand against the enemy. We pray, keep praying, don't stop praying until the answer comes. Now, the problem is that for most of us, our faith fails at some point. But if we pray and fast, I'm telling you, it will make your faith stronger. It will change you. It will empower you. In fact, after you get past that first day or two of real hunger, pangs, and feeling like you're going to die, I tell you, some of you are going to start feeling a strength that you haven't had before spiritually. But Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days, and the breakthrough finally came. You need a breakthrough. I'm telling you, many times we're in a great battle. It seems like there's no way. But if we fast and pray, that breakthrough will come. That's the way it happened for Daniel. Happened for many others that way. What happens if you give up? Well, James 1:7 says that if we waver in our faith, that we should not think that we'll receive anything from the Lord. What if the answer is on the way, but you just give up and walk away? It's probably just a story that some preacher made up, but it illustrates the point well. A young woman dreamed that she died and went to heaven. And as an angel was showing her around in the rooms of the city of glory, she saw a stack of boxes with her name on it. And she began to look into the boxes, and it was full of prayers that she had prayed. And she said, "What is this? I remember when I prayed about these things and I never got an answer." And he said, "Well, when an angel is dispatched because of a request by a child of God, preparations are made to give the answer, but the angels are told that if that petitioner is no longer waiting on the answer, they're to return and store it here." I don't know that that's how it happens. But I do know this, Jesus said to pray and never give up. And too often we give up. And I want to encourage you this morning to pray and fast. It will change you. You won't like it at first, but it will change you. Fasting will bring greater faith, greater power in your life. Jesus made that so clear when he said, they said, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" He had given them power over demons. Why couldn't we cast it out? This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. We want to see people healed, set free. I'm telling you, we need to pray and fast. I mentioned earlier, Jesus fasted for 40 days, and he did so right before he began his earthly ministry. But the Bible says very plainly that after he was tempted of the devil, after that 40-day fast, in Luke 4:14, it says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." This is not coincidental. Listen to me. We have been given the Holy Spirit. And we have been given power and authority in this earth. And yet, if our faith fails, if we are unbelieving, we will not see those things move and work in our life. We won't see that power. We won't hear the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do. So I encourage you today, pray and fast. That power of the Spirit is evident in your life. Pray and fast. It will change you. I want you to stand with me, and I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come as we pray. Father, I thank you for the instruction of your word. And Lord, though it is not always easy, I know that it is always what we need. And so, Father, I just pray that by your Holy Spirit, you help us to put this word into practice in our life, that we will truly be doers of your word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Father, I pray that you would speak to each and every heart how you would have them fast. Give them wisdom and direction, Lord, and show them how they can do that in their life. I pray, Father, for those that are discouraged today, that faith will rise in their heart. I pray, Father, for those in a great battle, that they'll be able to stand until the end, that their faith fail not. And Father, I just pray this morning that you would have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. And as we do, I want to encourage you, if God's dealing with you or you have a prayer need today, don't miss this opportunity to have a believing person pray with you and pray in agreement with you. Jesus said, if any two agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for them of our Father in heaven. There's great power in the prayer of agreement. For some of you here this morning, you're in a battle. Don't give up. Let's say, I believe, help my unbelief. Don't give up. This is an opportunity, once again, for you to believe God and trust Him. Some of you are struggling this morning with the message and just saying, I don't know how I can do that. Well, let somebody pray with you. God can give you direction and show you what to do. Some of you here this morning, you've been believing for a long time for a family member, been believing a long time for healing, whatever it might be. Let somebody pray with you. But however the Lord might be dealing with you this morning or whatever need you may have, you come for prayer as we dismiss. I want to speak the blessing over the church as we go this morning. Go out believing. Go out in this world shining as a light in a dark place. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.